Hello.
Hello, Jenny. It's Rowan from Silver Tiger Media. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
It's brilliant to catch up with you. Thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome.
Now, we're waiting with bated breath over here for your return, Jenny, on tour with Slash, Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators. How exciting. You want to be this tour?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be awesome. Really looking forward to it, eh? And really looking forward to coming back over to Aussie. Haven't been over for a few years, so, yeah, bring it
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. January 2017, I mean, we've got to talk about the time you and the guys came over to the ditch to the West Island here and absolutely kicked our asses supporting Hailstorm. People are still talking about those killer shows. I heard was the name of the Fanciest Fuck T-shirt.
Oh, no, that's gone now. Yeah, that was, I think I sold that on, actually.
Oh, my God, that's sad news, but never mind. Look, seriously, you've been all over, stomping the stage at the Whiskey A Go-Go, tear-assing around Europe with our mates from Airborne. What is it for you up there on stage? What's the real juice for you, the real satisfaction you get from performing live?
I guess it's, you know, when I'm on stage, I become a different person. I feel like I can become someone else. I just get a kick out of that. Like, I love sort of dressing up how I wouldn't normally dress up, and just being a completely different person. And just, I think, you know, getting the vibe off the crowd and when they're really into it, it's just an amazing experience. And it just, you know, you just want it more and more and more. And that's just why I love performing.
It's
our band, yeah.
You say that particularly from another person's perspective, because obviously Endo, to name but one song, was a track about your surgery for stage 4 endometriosis. I certainly won't press that point, but other than to hope that everything's okay now. But this certainly demonstrates your level of personal involvement with your music. Has that always been the case for you, music being almost a personal conduit for your feelings and emotions?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, and me and Paul normally write the band, but I write a lot of songs, you know, based on myself and things that I've gone through. Sometimes it sort of might be disguised, but obviously the Endo song isn't. But yeah, I mean, I find that the songs like that, so they come out a bit more passionate, writing it from heart or writing it from experiences. You know, we actually had a writing weekend towards the start of the year last year, and we were coming back home, and we came across a car crash where we ended up being sort of first on the scene and helping out a family. And there was a young boy that was in his car that had rolled, and he'd sort of come out of the car and, you know, landed on the road and stuff. So we were helping him out, and we wrote a song about it and called it after him. And just because we were all so shocked after that crash, you know, we're all a bit just overwhelmed what we had seen and stuff.
Absolutely.
I just find, yeah, personal experience definitely comes out better, and it's just more passionate as well performing it on stage.
Indeed, perfectly naturally, of course. But does that see you sort of jotting down material from time to time, or do you find yourself working on elements of songs pretty much all the time, or do you have a set period of time where you'll sort of draw on those life experiences from memory and then put them to music?
Sort of more that. I mean, sometimes I sort of think back to, I don't know, times in my life when, like, death, all of a sudden, I understand death. Like, you know, growing up, I lost my granddad and that sort of thing, but it wasn't until I was 19 when my nana passed away, and that really hit me. And, you know, a few years ago, I wrote a song called In Black off our last album, and that was just kind of based on the feelings of how I felt with death and that sort of thing. So, yeah, I mean, there's things that still come up from the past that I write about, so, yeah.
And do you find a bit of gratitude from fans? I mean, one thing I notice at your live shows is the amount of the people identify with you, particularly the guys as well, but certainly you, almost like they can use your music as their own outlet. Do you find a bit of satisfaction expressed to you, or a bit of thanks expressed to you from fans?
Yeah, we do. You know, even with our song Never See the Light, which we released about 2012, I think, but that was written about a friend who committed suicide. And, you know, we played at shows, we dedicated to him every time, and we've had people come up to us and just thanking us for releasing a song like that and talking about suicide, you know, and we've met people that obviously been in that position of wanting to take their own lives but haven't, and just thanking us, you know, for releasing something like that. So really does get you, but it's cool. Yeah.
It must too. And if we go back a little further, just listening to you now, I've got the question in my head. You must feel so far down the track now from Slipping Tongue. Did it take a long time for Paul Martin to convince you to get started with Devilskin and to start off this whole journey?
A little bit. I think the band had broken up 2008, and I moved to Hamilton, and he did approach me asking me to start a new band with him. And at first I said no. I kind of wasn't in a very good state at the time. I didn't really want to get back into a band at that time either. And I think it was about 6 months later, it was actually Nail who approached me again and said, hey, you know, me and Paul really want you to be in a band with us. And at that time I was good and I didn't really have anything else going on, so I was like, yeah, okay. But, you know, my rules were I didn't want to do any touring outside of Hamilton. I didn't want to release any albums, all that sort of thing. So I've gone against everything I've said. So yeah. I'm kind of glad that I did.
But as are we over here, let me tell you, as we're keenly awaiting your return, you've built your fan base over here so phenomenally. As I say, people are still talking about those shows with Hailstorm. The idea for the painted goatee beards, where did that all start? Was that something before Devilskin? Is it something they'd always wanted to do?
Nail had always had it. It was a tribute to Dimebag. And so Paul just started doing it because, you know, they were both bald, and Paul was actually had a bit of a beard at the time anyway, and so I think they just maybe did it for a video. I can't remember how it came about, but all of a sudden they've just got it now, and our manager, you know, he always says, you know, don't you ever cut off your beard.
Oh, it's signature, isn't it? But I've got to ask, do you and Nick, you know, feel a bit of pressure from time to time to maybe colour bits of hair around the place?
Yeah. I'm lucky I can't grow one, so it's fine.
Again, seriously, you've enjoyed tremendous, deserved success and are now about to tour with, I mean, my God, the likes of Slash, Miles, Todd Kearns, Frank Zadoris, Brent Fitz. I mean, this is going to be so special. Do the names that you work with from time to time around the world often find you preparing for shows in a different way or preparing for a tour in a different way? Or is it pretty much just get up there and do what you do so well?
Yeah, I guess there's a little bit of preparing. You know, I guess we do just go up and sort of do what we do well. But sometimes, you know, you've got to take into account, like, we're not that big in Australia. We haven't done it that much. So we've got to think about sort of trying to push out our old album and stuff like that. But we've been in the, you know, in HQ, we call it, our band practice room, just practicing, just making sure our set is going to be sweet for these Slash shows, because, you know, they're a lot sort of bigger, and you're playing to people that possibly haven't seen you before as well, so you'll take that into account and think of any other ways you can sort of engage your audience, so, yeah.
There we go. Look, I've got to say, it really is striking. I've spoken to you really briefly once in person, and even listening to you now, you are so down to earth. I mean, we wouldn't think that we're speaking to somebody headlining the UK, albums that debut at number one, you know, tearing Europe apart, dominating. When confirmation comes through that you have a tour like this, I mean, to support, holy shit, Slash, Do you have that instant of, and this is just between you, me, and the rest of the world, of course, do you ever have that moment of, holy shit, look at this, look at what we've done?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think every time, like, you know, we found out we had the Slash tour when we were in the UK, just after we'd toured with Hailstorm for Europe, which, once again, was a, oh my God, I can't believe that just happened, all this is happening, and yeah, we found out we had Slash, and once again, it was just like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, I can't believe we, we get to do this, you know, this is my life. I get to, you know, open store for some big names, and it's pretty freaking cool.
Absolutely, and no wonder too, it is well deserved. But watching it from the floor, it really is no surprise that you are tearing it up the way you are, and travelling and headlining the way you're doing it for screaming fans all over the world. What's the plan for Devil Skin? Is there a plan at all, or is it just continue doing what you're doing and seeing where it goes?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to release a new album this year. It's been, our last album was released in 2016, so definitely going to get one out this year, hoping to be in the studio in April, actually. But, you know, we've got a few other things coming up, which means, you know, a bit more travel. And we'll be getting back over to the UK and Europe to build up that fan base again. I guess just sort of keep doing that. Keep doing what we can do until, I guess, we can't do it anymore.
And, of course, you're kicking off on the 25th of January at Tauranga at Bay Park Arena in Auckland. Then on the following night on the 26th in Auckland. How has it been for you personally watching sort of the home country crowds coming out and supporting you year after year? Is it that level of familiarity with your ongoing crowds?
Yeah, there is. Yep. I mean, you always see people you know in the crowd, or you always, you know, people coming up. Sometimes, you know, we'll go up to the merch table and stuff, and it's always good to have a chat to people that you've seen coming to your shows all these years, and, you know, they're still supporting you. And just you sort of get to know the Kiwi crowds as well. Like, obviously, we've almost been together for 10 years, and sort of every town is different, but, you know, the rockier crowds, I guess, and the quieter crowds, so... Yeah, it's just a lot of fun, though.
Absolutely. And, of course, you'll play at Sydney on the 28th of January at Kudos Bank Arena, then Brisbane on the 30th, Melbourne on the 1st of February. We cannot wait to see you back in Melbourne. And Perth on the 3rd of February. I've got to ask you at this juncture, do you remember at all, Jenny, a particular show, one that really jumped out at you or jumps into your memory as being of real significance to you as a performer, one that stood out as being of paramount importance?
Liz
really putting on the spot there, isn't it?
Whiskey A Go-Go in Hollywood was a pretty, you know, pretty amazing show, just being able to play in a place with so much history. But, you know, even, like, recently on our Europe tour with Hailthorn, just I really enjoyed playing a place in Hamburg, actually. In Germany, there was a crowd just chanting our name, and we thought that nobody knew who the hell we were. So, that's probably one of my most recent memorable gigs.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. I remember Lizzie, and I think RJ, was at the side of the stage at the Corner Hotel in Richmond singing along to some of your songs and really getting into it. I mean, that must be something.
Awesome. Yeah, he's amazing.
Oh, indeed. Now, merch, I'm not going to miss the opportunity this time to have Be Like the River vinyl copy signed by you and the band. Are you folks bringing along plenty of merch and making a few appearances for your fans to come and say hi to you over here on the stage?
Yes, we'll be doing that. We normally come out after the shows, come out to the merch stand. So, yeah, if anyone's coming to the show, come say hi.
Absolutely brilliant. Until then, please travel safely. We look forward to seeing you and the guys back over here. Cannot wait. It's going to be a huge show. And to see you guys back out here with Slash, Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators is going to be of enormous fun. We cannot wait.
Okay, we can't wait either.
Brilliant. Jenny, thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We'll look forward to seeing you soon.
Yeah, cool. See you in a few weeks.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.